A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You are being enriched in every way for all generosity, which through us produces thanksgiving to God. The word of the Lord. Blessed the man who fears the Lord.
Blessed the man who fears the Lord.
Blessed the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed.
Blessed the man who fears the Lord.
Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His generosity shall endure forever. Light shines through the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just.
Blessed the man who fears the Lord.
Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory.
Blessed the man who fears the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. they neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We continue our journey in ordinary time, and we've been reading through St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. It's a great letter because it really shows St. Paul's strong personality. And St. Thomas Aquinas, when he comments on the second letter to the Corinthians, he says he really expounds what the life of the minister is like. And so what's kind of going on is Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians because he's kind of been hearing these complaints and also some comparisons in the community between Paul and some other apostles that are coming to preach to the Corinthians. And it's kind of funny because St. Paul is sitting there saying, look, I'm an apostle. I've got all the credentials. Okay, I know there might be some complaints or anything, but here are all the things that prove to you that I'm a true apostle. And he's really lively in it, so I recommend, I think it'd be good for everybody to read it. It's really not that long. But one of the things that comes out is this reality of comparison. And one of the things in our readings today that I see kind of highlighted over and over is this kind of play or this tension between what's going on interiorly and exteriorly, what's material and what is spiritual. And we're not trying to keep things separate, but we're trying to make this whole in us, right? To integrate it all into our lives, okay? He talks about this comparison. It's something that happens for us who are following the Lord, that we look to others and we might see, I'm trying to follow Jesus. I'm trying to do right by him. I'm trying to grow in my relationship with him. And I'm alongside others who are doing the same thing, which is wonderful, right? We're in a Christian community. We live in a church, and we're walking towards the Lord together. But sometimes the evil one comes in, and he starts sowing these little seeds of comparison. So I look to someone else and say, ooh, wow, they really have these amazing gifts. And then we might say, well, what about me? And is the Lord really blessing me? And then you see where that pride kind of creeps in. One of my favorite spiritual writers is Father Thomas Green. He's a Jesuit, and he wrote these books on kind of bringing together St. Ignatius, but also the Carmelite spirituality, because he loves St. Teresa and John of the Cross. And he talks about, you know, as a young man, he entered the Jesuits in the old days, and they had this practice, you know, the Ignatians, they have this, it's an amazing thing, not everybody's called to it, but they would, first thing in the morning, be in prayer for 1 hour, kneeling on a kneeler in absolute silence. They would get the points of their meditation read to them the night before. First thing in the morning, they're all together kneeling for 1 hour in silence. And I've experienced that on a visit once, and it is not easy. It is not easy. Prayer as it is, okay, is not easy. For 1 hour, not easy. Sitting down, a nice comfortable pew, not easy. Kneeling for an hour, okay, you can add, you know, to that. So Father Thomas, in his book, he writes about how in his agony on this kneeler, he would start looking to his brothers, you know, his brothers in the vision, and he'd be like, wow, they really seem to have it so together. They look great. They look fantastic. And look at me. I'm here struggling. I'm suffering. My back hurts. My knees hurt. I can't even think. I can't talk. I can't think about Jesus. And years later, thanks God, he persevered, right? Years later, he was amongst his confreres, and he said that some of his old novice buddies would say, yeah, we were all looking at you and say, man, that guy really has it all together. He's fantastic. Look at him. He's so holy. And he's like, y'all don't even know. Y'all don't even know. So we have to be careful about this idea of comparison, okay? Keep your eyes on Jesus and recognize and give thanks for the gifts that he has given you. And when we find ourselves, you know, maybe a little envious or whatever it is, recognize that it's from the evil one. We even saw that sometimes in the life of the apostles, right? They would look to each other and there'd be some tension there, right? And very often Jesus would be walking and, so what were you guys talking about on the way? Well, we were talking about who's better amongst us. What? Come on now. You know, and even in the midst of his Last Supper, in this great moment of his union with his Father, a discussion broke out about who amongst them was the greatest. He said, it cannot be like that among you, right? Now, if we're looking at today's reading, St. Paul is exhorting this Christian community to generosity, to sow bountifully so that we might reap bountifully, right? In one of the translations, it says, to sow in blessings so you that you might reap in blessings, right? This little mug that says, prayers go up, blessings come down. Right, the grace of our Lord starts from the heavens, comes down to us, and we return it to him in thanksgiving and in love and in charity. And in this reading today, we have this kind of interplay of words, grace and thanksgiving. Right, they both have the same root, charis in the Greek. Grace, charis, and thanksgiving, we've heard Eucharistia, right, Eucharist there. So to remember that between the spiritual, the material, grace, thanksgiving, to recognize everything is moving, right? It's coming from the Lord. It's coming to our hearts. And for us to be moved by his grace and live and love and offer that in thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father. So he says, amongst each other, give bountifully, give generously. And as we grow in that virtue, we will give promptly, abundantly, and cheerfully. He says, God loves a cheerful giver. And isn't that really a beautiful sign, almost a fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? That cheerfulness, that joy, that charity, that love is the sign of the grace of the Lord really working in someone's heart. Now, our gospel today, one of my favorites. I was talking yesterday about the liturgical year. And if you kind of remember this reading, it's the gospel from Ash Wednesday. Right, so it's that moment we're starting to get ready to do these great works, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And our Lord is recommending that we do these things. Okay, they're external actions, right? But ultimately with justice in the heart, knowing that the Lord sees the heart. I love this reading too, because whenever the Lord talks about the Pharisees and kind of their external things, it really resonates with the life of the priest, right? Because we kind of live this every single day. And so it can kind of be humiliating to hear these words. I was on a mission trip one time with some missionaries, and it was in Ecuador. And Ecuador is on the equator, right? And this was the middle of July. So our community, we wear our habit, but it says, our constitution say, in hot climates, you can wear white. So I said, okay, well, it's going to be hard on the equator, right? So we get a white habit and all this kind of thing, and it's something that I'd never worn. But anyway, we're walking to the parish as a group, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I kind of feel like the Pharisees. I'm all in white and long robe here. And sure enough, we're walking literally through the marketplaces or these stores, and this guy goes out from one of the stores, Fariseo, Fariseo, Pharisee, Pharisee. I'm absolutely mortified. I'm like, just the thing that I was thinking about, this guy calls me out. And sure enough, I'm like, what do I do? I don't know. Smile, wave, God bless you, keep walking. There was a time, too, I was with a priest friend, and same kind of thing. We're in our cassocks, and we passed by this guy, and he didn't know what to make of us. And he's like, what's the deal with these guys? What are these guys wearing? And we just keep walking, and I just kind of like smiling. And as he keeps walking, there's a lady. She just whispers to him, they're priests. And then he goes, oh, sorry, Father. And it was just like redemption. But anyway, sometimes we literally live this mortification of the external things, right? But the Lord says it has to be in the heart. The Lord sees what is secret. So how do we integrate these things, the externals, the internals, the material, and the spiritual? It's got to be prayer. It's got to be prayer. You know, we're in the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We have this great, wonderful, and beautiful image of our Lord, his heart, right? For the Hebrews, the heart was the center of the human life, right? In there was the thoughts, the emotions, the passions, the will. Everything was there. And how beautiful it is that we can meditate on this image this month, brothers and sisters, of heaven coming to earth, divinity and humanity together as manifested in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So let us look to our Lord's heart today and all of these days and ask him for the grace that our hearts might be conformed to him, and that these things, of course, in our devotions that we do externally might also be integrated with the thoughts of the heart, with the desires, the emotions, the love that we have for our Heavenly Father, and he will reward us.